You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Just thrilled to have you all with us. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to all of you who have been writing in and expressing your approval of the show. That's really awesome. It's great to hear from you guys. And thank you for all that you guys are doing to help spread the word about the show. We are, of course, always happy to meet more of you out there that have paranormal experiences of your own. So if you do, and you wouldn't mind being a guest on the show, please reach out to me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com, and we'll be getting in touch, and you could be a guest on the show as well. So we've got an awesome show lined up for you guys today. I've got Brooks from Texas joining us, and she's got a whole host of paranormal experiences that she's been dealing with throughout the journey of her life, and she agreed to come on the show and share some of those with us today. So I hope you guys are ready, because it's about to get creepy. Hey, Brooks, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brent.
How you doing today?
I'm good.
Me too. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on. Of course, it's always the most amazing experience for me being a host of these shows, is to get a chance to, you know, I've got a lot of experiences myself, but it's really, really fascinating and amazing to me to have the opportunity to talk to people like yourself who've also had so many different experiences, and to hear what you've seen and to see what you've seen and go through that journey with you. So I really appreciate you coming on and being a part of it.
You bet.
Well, thank you so much. And as with all journeys, I guess it had to start somewhere. So can you kind of bring us into, you know, how this kind of got off the ground for you?
Well, I had this mobile home for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And I'd moved it four times, never had any problems till we moved out in the country to this one location.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you know, we had subtle things happen, but I guess one thing that happened is my husband, his aunt and uncle had died.
Oh, okay.
And they didn't have children, and he considered my husband's siblings their children. Oh. And so they left everything to them, and they were poor people and lived in a 3-room house, didn't have much, but they were comfortable.
Sure.
And so when we went to they lived near Abilene, so we went, all the siblings went to, you know, clear out the house to get it ready to sell.
Okay.
And all the little kids, the great nephews and nieces, which would be my kids and their cousins, they just told them to pick out little knickknacks in the house.
Okay.
And we didn't know what our kids had got. I mean, nobody really paid any attention to what they picked out.
Oh, sure.
But we've gotten home, we've gotten all that taken care of, and about a week later, my son, who's about, 8-10 years old, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in and he said, "Who's moving my owl?" We're looking and we're going, "Well, what owl?" Sure. And he said, "The one I got from Auntie and Uncle's house." We said, "Well, we didn't know you got an owl." So we went in his room and he showed us this little ceramic owl that could have been handmade.
Sure.
I don't know where they had gotten it from.
Okay.
His aunt and uncle.
Yeah.
So we really didn't pay any more attention, but he kept coming in and saying, "Somebody keeps moving my owl."
Hmm.
And he had in his room, he had like a coffee table, and he'd put stuff on the coffee table on top of it and stack up stuff. And this one place where the owl was, there was about 10 other things that he had up there. And we got to watching, and the only thing that was moving was this owl. Nothing else up there was moving. Nothing.
Oh, wow.
And it was like turning around.
No kidding.
It wasn't facing us anymore. It put its back to us. And,
oh.
And Chris was saying, "No, it's moving around the room too," but we never did see that part.
Okay. But,
so finally, I asked one of my friends if I could borrow her VHS recorder because that was during VHS times. And
sure.
Yeah, so I set it up in his room and I had it up there a week and nothing, didn't move.
Mm.
So it started moving again after I gave her back her recorder. Well, being in a mobile home, we thought, well, it's the washer and dryer moving it, because sometimes when the washer and dryer in mobile homes, it'll shake the house, and his room was on the very end by the washer and dryer.
Uh-huh.
No, we sat there, let the washer and dryer go through the cycles, and no, it wasn't moving.
Wow.
So my husband and the kids were in the other end of the house in the kitchen. And I was going to the bathroom, and I thought, well, I'll just look in there. Well, the owl was facing out. I thought, okay, well, I left the door open and used the bathroom and came back out and went in there and looked, and it had turned around.
Oh, no. Huh.
And I know that none of them had gone past me. I would have seen them in the hall, but, it's only a 2 or 3 foot wide hall.
Sure.
And so, like I said, he kept complaining. Well, then he had a friend come over.
Uh-huh.
And we had to go to town. And so my husband and I and my daughter, we went to town and we left him and his friend there. And my son played baseball, so he had baseball bats and gloves and balls.
Uh-huh.
But they had decided to go outside and, mess around out in the yard. And when they came back, the owl had moved, and his friend had noticed the owl.
Uh-huh.
And when they walked in, they couldn't find the owl. It was gone from where it was. And my son collects funny hats, like Dr. Seuss hats, type of thing.
Uh-huh.
And they started going through his room, and that owl was underneath one of those hats on the other side of the room.
Oh, my God.
And his friend totally freaked out. Totally freaked out. Which in turn made my son freak out. And he grabbed the owl and he grabbed his baseball bat. And they went out to the field right next to the house. And he chunked it up there and just shattered it in a million pieces.
That was the end of the owl, huh?
That was the end of the owl. I really wished he hadn't done that. But
sure.
I couldn't have done it. I was going to do more research on it while I was moving.
Yeah.
But the friend wouldn't come back anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame him. But it was intelligent though, huh? I mean, it wasn't just it wasn't a random movement. It seemed to at least have an awareness of when you were trying to capture it or record it, and would only act when it would, you know, get away with it.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's wild.
Yes. And then, of course, you know, my daughter, she wouldn't sleep in her room at all.
Oh, okay.
She would come lay on the couch, and she'd just lay there. She wasn't fidgety. It wasn't like she was hyperactive and not sleeping in her room or her bed. And I'd have to sit up with her and, you know, sleep in the living room with her because she just refused to go to her bed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was just...
So what was going on for her?
Well, what was going on for her, there were several things for her.
Oh, no.
She had her cousin over one time, and they had decided they were going to, you know, they were playing in her room, and I don't know, the cousin came out of the room, and she was screaming. I guess they were about 7 years old at that time.
Okay.
And she was screaming, there's an owl looking in her window.
Oh, okay.
And she never came back over.
What is it with owls in that house, huh?
Yeah, it was really crazy. But Shannon, she had had one of her friends over, and they decided they were going to sleep in the room.
Oh, okay.
And I guess it was a little after midnight or so, and I was up watching TV, and they came out, and they said, somebody's in there going, psst, psst, hey, where's your brother?
Ooh, that's creepy.
And I was going, what? I said, are y'all sure? And she said, yeah. And so they refused to sleep in the room.
Yeah.
So the next night, I told her, I said, I'll go and sleep in your room with you.
Okay.
Let's just see. So I was sleeping in her bed. And she was in the floor. And we had a clock in there. And it was about 5 o'clock. And I woke up about 5 o'clock in the morning. And she was sound asleep on the floor. And all of a sudden, I heard that, psst, hey. That scared me to death.
Yeah, that's powerful and creepy.
I mean, it sounded like it came from the closet.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way that she had a real small closet in her room. There was no way that anybody could have been in that closet. There was too much stuff in there.
Oh, wow.
In her brother's room, there's a bathroom separating her brother's room to the end. His bedroom was on the end, then there was the bathroom, then her room.
Okay.
Then the living room, kitchen, and then our bedroom.
Ah.
And the hall was from her room to his room.
Okay.
So there was no way that it could have been him playing a joke or
right.
anything like that. And it was a deep male voice that I heard that.
Oh man, that is so creepy.
I was frozen in fear.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty intense. And you got to wonder, what are they doing that for?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was just, it's that gut-wrenching fear that you get in your stomach.
Sure.
And you can't move.
Yeah. Now, could you move, or were you just kind of frozen in fear? Or
I was pretty much frozen in fear until the sun came up.
Okay. So it wasn't probably like sleep paralysis as much. It was just shock of hearing that
right.
voice. Okay, gotcha.
You know, it was definitely not sleep paralysis.
Okay.
It was definitely a voice sounded like coming out of the closet.
Oh, man.
And the only thing different than what the girls heard was, I didn't hear, it didn't tell me, ask me, where's your brother?
Right.
I got the, psst, psst, hey.
Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here, the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. You know, I often think that spirits largely just want to be acknowledged, in a lot of cases, and so they might do silly things like that. But this is a whole chain of events in this one dwelling, right?
It is.
That's a lot of activity.
The Christmas that years ago when the fur babies came out.
Okay.
Furbies.
Oh, Furbies, sure.
Yeah, Furbies. Mm-hmm. Well, the kids wanted one. Don't get Furbies.
Okay.
I've got my son a brown colored fur baby or Furby, and hers was the zebra looking fur baby. Okay. Furby.
Yep.
Well, we didn't have any problems out of his. But with hers, it kept going off.
Mm.
And so we eventually took the batteries out of it.
Okay.
Well, and then she kept saying, well, you know, it was moving around the room.
Oh, no.
So, well, she didn't really want to throw it away even with the batteries out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she really didn't stay in her room. And so as long as she didn't have to be in there with it, she was fine with it.
Okay.
So, my stepbrother had come to see us, and, you know, we were telling him all the weird things that were happening. He'd come from Reno. He'd lived in Reno.
Okay.
And so while we're sitting here telling him about the Furby, we're all in the living room, and that Furby goes off.
No batteries, and it went off?
No batteries,
oh,
nothing.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And his eyes got real big. Our eyes got real big. So then my son gets it, and he goes out, and he gets the baseball bat after it. You know, he's good with that baseball bat.
He's like a one-tool Ghostbuster.
Yeah. And so he crushes it, and, you know, it goes into the dumpster.
Sure. Huh.
You
know,
yeah.
The interesting thing, though, is, and this is something that seems to come up with dolls from time to time, and there's a claim that the original purpose for dolls was not for children to play with. They were supposedly developed back in the ancient world as vessels for spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And, it seems to me that some spirits are drawn to those and may. So you had the owl, and that was kind of a vessel for a while. Until that got smashed, and then you got the Furby, and that became a vessel as well. So it's kind of interesting that played out in your experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
It's really, I don't know, it's crazy. My daughter said there was a chair, we had a kitchen chair in her room that she'd put her clothes on, and
mm-hmm.
she said she always saw an old lady sitting in that chair.
Oh.
Wow. So, there was one day when I was reading, and my chair faced the window, and then that wall was where the hall was.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up, and this was in the middle of the afternoon, and I saw an orb come out of the floor and do a 9 and shoot down the hall.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened that, you know, in this place, or what was the one event that pulled this all into, if it was the location, or was, you know, something brought into the house, or is it just, you know, sometimes it's gravitational towards the people, you know?
Yeah, it could. I have no idea. I know the land at one time was just straight farmland.
Okay.
So, but then there's a trail, an Indian trail that goes through here.
Oh.
I can't remember which one it was, but I mean, it could have something to do with that.
Sure. Too. Yeah. And it really sounds like a kind of a trickster kind of spirit, you know, mm-hmm. just someone that's mm-hmm. just being mischievous, you know?
Yeah, it was, there were times when it was pretty intense.
Yeah.
When my son was in high school, he wanted to get a senior ring.
Uh-huh.
And, so I brought out mine because, you know, let him look at mine. He couldn't decide on what he wanted to do, but he had looked at it. And so I just set it on my table by my chair and I didn't think anything more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And my son is real tall. He's 6'7".
Wow.
Tall, lanky dude.
Okay. That's a big boy.
And, yeah. and he had come in. I guess he was like a junior. And he said, Mom, he said, do you know where your senior ring is? And I said, well, you know, it's here on the table. And he said, no, it's not. And I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, you need to come in here and look. And so he takes me to the bathroom. And the bathroom is a double sink. That's the bathroom between their rooms.
Okay.
And it's got the double marble sink. And it has the two hanging swag lamps.
Sure.
And these were long globes on them.
Okay.
And he said, look up there. And I'm going, look up where? And he said, right there. And he pointed to the screws that hold those globes on.
Okay.
That ring was put up on one of those screws.
Oh, man.
No way would I have ever seen it unless I'd have had to change a light bulb. And the only way, I guess, that he saw it was because he was so tall.
Sure, yeah. That's probably at eye level for him then, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's intense. And another just in your face kind of demonstration.
Another, yeah. Right.
Huh. That's intense.
Yeah.
Now, this is just ongoing. How much time had passed in the duration of these stories so far? Is this a number of years or?
Yeah, this is a number of years. And there was lots of little things that would happen. I mean, like my husband and I, we were paint contractors
okay.
for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
So we're professional painters, residential and commercial.
Okay.
So, you know, he'd have his tools up on the counter, you know, charging the drills and stuff like that. Well, a lot of times those tools would just go off.
Oh, jeez. Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
We had one of the answering machines, those phone answering machines, and you know, one, I mean, they don't call people.
Sure.
They just don't call people. And we had left and came back one time and there was a message on the answering machine and it was his sister.
Okay.
And but it was her saying on the recording saying hello. Hello.
Wow.
And she said, well, she said, there's nobody there. And she said, I have no idea who's calling. She said, there's nobody there. Our answering machine called her.
Wow. That wasn't in the brochure, huh?
Uh-uh.
Oh, no. That's wild.
It was just, I mean, there's just little things all the time happening.
Yeah, it really keep you on your toes, huh?
Yeah, I mean, and we really, I mean, a lot of it, we got used to it.
Sure.
Like one Christmas, my son had gone to work at a pizza place, and they were drawing names, you know, for the employees, and he drew the owner's daughter, which she was his age, and so we bought her, you know, one of those bubble bath, you know, wrapped kits.
Oh, sure.
That have the lotion and all of the soap and all that. They're real heavy.
Uh-huh.
And we had our tree up, and I always shampoo our rugs about 4 times a year, and so I usually do it before Christmas. And so we hadn't wrapped that gift, and I'd pushed it under the tree up next to the base of it.
Uh-huh.
And thought, well, you know, I'll wrap it later. But yeah. I was shampooing the rugs, and my husband and the kids, they went to town. So as I was shampooing the rugs, you know, you have to turn it off to empty in the tank and fill it up with water. Well, every time I'd do that, the machine would come back on.
Oh, okay.
So I got used to that. And anyway, I finished the rugs, the carpet, and they still hadn't been back, but I had to go back to the kids' bathroom, the back bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And I came back in, and that gift was in the middle of the floor.
Oh, wow. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in.
Were you able to see like drag marks then from when it got pulled out, or was it just placed?
No, it was just placed.
Wow, that is just so cool.
You know, you just kind of, you walk in there and you stop and you look at it and you're going, what?
Yeah. Wait a minute. I know I didn't leave it like this. What's going on?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But it didn't surprise you, I suppose, because of all the other activity you'd already seen.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
It's amazing what we can get used to, you know. That's the part that really, you know, impresses me, is that people are so resilient, even around activity like this that's just over the top and amazing. It's just like, well, it's Tuesday, you know. It's just another day.
It is.
Yeah.
It's just, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we lived out in the country. Another strange thing that happened out there is our neighbor, well, he didn't have a place out there. He had a goat pen out there.
A what?
And he had a goat pen.
Oh, goat pen. Okay, yep.
And he had about 25 goats.
Mm-hmm.
And he had one billy out there. And I'm an animal lover, and I'd always go out there and pet the goats. And
sure.
The billy was real sweet.
Uh-huh.
So I always petted them. But that pen that they were in wasn't even... The way our trailer sat on the lot, it was about 15 feet, and then there was a road, and then that pen was right on the other side of the road.
Oh, okay.
So it was really pretty close to the house.
Sure.
But the neighbor that had the goats, he came and knocked on our door one morning. And now my son's room had the big bay windows in his room at the end of the trailer. They weren't double pane. They were just regular windows. So.
Okay.
But he said, did y'all hear anything last night? And I said, well, no. And he said, I said, well, you know, what's the matter? And he said, something killed every one of my goats last night.
Wow. Was it, what, now,
and
I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, but was it like a bloody mess, or was it just little bodies laying around?
No. The goats were just dead out there.
Wow. Makes you wonder,
but
doesn't
we
it?
We didn't hear a...
Go ahead.
Didn't hear a thing. We didn't hear a thing.
Wow. That is really, really intense. And it's certainly something that could, could be so many different things, right? So it could be there's reports of you know, of Sasquatch apparently getting upset about things and killing livestock. There's reports of obviously Dog Man, and there's reports of cattle mutilations with UFOs. But if there was no mutilations going on, then I don't know what is it. Was there any indication how they died?
He had no idea. They weren't tore apart. They weren't eaten.
Wow, they were just dead.
And if they would have been shot, we would have heard somebody shooting them.
Oh, sure, yeah, especially that close. I mean, wow. No, that's totally sad, and it's horrible, but it's just so disconcerting because something is I don't know, it's for the lack of a better term, it sounds like it's escalating something.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that was just, you know, that was heart-wrenching for me because, like I said, I'd go over and, you know, pet the goats. I love the goats.
Well, did you ever take that to mean anything for you guys specifically, or did you just think, oh, that's weird, the goats just died?
Well, I don't, you know, I guess it was just weird something happened to the goats. But, yeah. I mean, for all of them in one night.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, even if it was coyotes, which there are coyotes.
Sure.
We would have heard the coyotes yipping and.
Sure. Yeah.
We would have heard the goats screaming or something.
Distress calling. Yeah, for sure.
Huh.
Did anything ever follow that, or was it just a one-time thing?
That was a one-time thing.
Thank God. Yeah, that's a good thing to have only one of, but it's just, that's such an over-the-top display, you know?
It is, and it was real, I mean, it was just real heartbreaking that that had happened, and like I said, there was no blood on the goats. I don't know what killed them.
Right. Wow. Yeah, that's one of those stories you don't know what to do with.
I mean, I wouldn't think they would all got sick in one night and died.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's creepy. Very, very creepy. And what a horrible loss. But it's, you know, the other part of it is what did it? And then that's the part that's just racking my brain now as I'm thinking about it. It's like, how did they die? What was it that happened that they all dropped dead? Were they like all their necks wrung, or was it some kind of like, I don't know, you think of things like, you know, electromagnetic pulses or something. Is there something like that that might have happened that wiped them out or whatever? But yeah, there's just no answers. Right.
There's no answers. That was really weird.
Was there any weird lights in the skies over the time you were there, or would you ever see what might be UFOs and such?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We used to sit out every night. We had a 55-gallon drum that we'd cut off to make a fire pit.
Okay.
That first ring, yeah, we'd cut that off. And we would sit out there and we'd watch the UFOs.
Wow.
Like, they're way up there.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody thought, well, those are satellites, but they weren't, because they'd go across and they'd stop and then they'd go a complete different direction.
Wow. Yeah, that's not what satellites do.
Right. And I mean, we watched those every night we were out there. Every night we were out there. As long as it was clear.
And I've seen those things that you're talking about too. They're just these little dots. They're way up there. It almost does look like satellites, except for the changing direction. And I've seen that as well. And it's really, you know, but again, I'm living in the area where I had my first experience with seeing a flying saucer. So I don't know, for whatever reason, this is a real busy area for that kind of stuff too.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I think they're everywhere.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, that's a fair assessment, I would say.
It is. Huh. But some of the last nights that I was in, that we were in the trailer, my husband and I were in the process of separating.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. And I was staying in my daughter's room.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a little Yorkie at the time, half Yorkie, half Dachshund. and my daughter's bed was up against the wall, and I had my face facing towards the wall, and my little dog jumped up and started barking, 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 barking. Oh. And I thought, oh, do I want to turn around and look?
Yeah, no kidding.
So I turned around, and I heard somebody else mention this a few nights ago on your YouTube channel.
Okay.
There, standing there, was this man, and he had on a red flannel shirt.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But this one that I saw, he had on suspenders.
Oh, okay.
Just suspenders with it. But there was definitely the red flannel shirt. And my daughter had said one time that she had come out of the bathroom and nearly ran into him, that he was standing in the hall.
Oh, wow. So you may have actually several different apparitions you're dealing with there. Because you said you're talking about the old woman, now the man in the the flannel shirt. Mm-hmm. Now some people in the paranormal field say that that's a unique phenomenon. I'm not convinced that it is. I think that just flannel shirts were just such a big part of our history. And most often people wear whatever they were comfortable with, and they appear, you know, they just appear in comfortable ways or ways that they might have in life. But, you know, I don't know, for whatever reason, some people believe that that's a whole different kind of spiritual entity. And maybe they're right. I don't have to be right or even know for sure, but it just seems kind of odd to me. But so you saw it, and it had been seen before as well. Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How often were apparitions being sighted in the home?
I think my son had seen them.
Uh-huh.
I'd seen them, and my daughter had seen them. And now my ex-husband, he wouldn't, I mean, it took everything to pry it out of him if he even saw anything.
Yeah, a little stoic, is he? Yeah.
he just really didn't want to deal with it.
Sure. No, and some people are just that way. They just shut that book. They're like, nope, I'm not talking about it. I'm not going to give it any kind of reality in my world.
Exactly. Huh. I know one of the last nights we were in the trailer before he moved out. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I was in my daughter's room, and my son was in his room, and my ex was in our bedroom at the other end of the house. And the next morning I got up, and my ex said, well, did you hear that last night? I said, what? And he said, something was beating all over the trailer.
Oh, wow.
He said, it sounded like somebody was taking both of their fists and going completely around the trailer, which was impossible because we had a fence.
Oh, okay.
But wow. He said it was going completely, and it was loud. And my daughter and I slept through it.
Is that unusual?
But my son.
Are you light sleepers?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
But my son and him heard it. And he said that he went out the front door, my son went out the back door.
Okay.
And they didn't see anything. But he said it sounded like the house was fixing to come apart.
Oh, geez. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I got a question for you, and I don't mean for this to get too personal, so please forgive me if it is, and please, if you don't want to answer it, don't worry about it, but did you notice the activity dissipating after your ex moved out?
Yes.
Okay, so what that would seem to suggest to me, and this is just an idea, but that, you know, obviously if you guys were at the end of a relationship, it was probably pretty emotionally charged and there's a lot of, you know, emotional energy being spent. And that can certainly raise, you know, the energy levels for paranormal issues to happen. And that's why I was curious is after he left, did you notice it dissipate or at least go back down?
Yes, it went definitely back down. Oh, okay. And two, he was an alcoholic. So,
oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. So there's a lot of issues going on there then. Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I don't drink or anything. Sure. You know, so.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think that's good. And especially if you're dealing with, you know, a lot of spiritual issues, that's not a good thing to do. You know, there's those that believe that alcohol creates holes in our aura, which allows attachments to happen and such. So, yeah, that's pretty scary stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'd already, my sister and I, her husband was a, or is a minister, and, you know, for years. I mean, like for, I don't know, forever. But we had discussed that possibility that that's.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, did you have him come through the house and, you know, bless the house and stuff too?
No, they live in Canada.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's quite a bit removed. Okay. Did you ever have anyone come in and cleanse the house?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Okay.
Because, I mean, people think you're nuts.
Welcome to my world, Brooks. This is where I live. But, you know, and that's true. It's true. It can be.
I mean, yeah.
But, I'll tell you, and I told you this before the show as well. My hat's off to you because you really have done it right, by all intents and purposes. I mean, you've managed it, you know, very stoically and from a, it sounds like from an inquisitive space rather than from a fearful space. And I think that's really cool, you know?
Well, there was definitely the fear there.
Sure.
You know, but it's like I told my children, we can either make this a gift or a curse. And I said, I think it's a gift.
Mm. Gotcha.
But, yeah. That we get to see that extra glimpse that other people don't.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the way I've looked at it too. It's like, you know, I feel for everything that's happened to me, I do feel honored because it's like I've seen things that other people talk about and I can say that I've witnessed them and I feel like that's, I don't know, it's just kind of a neat peek into the whole dynamic reality of things.
It is. It tells you that it's what we have right here. This isn't it. I mean, there's more to than just coming home, going to work. And I mean, there's things around us that most people are oblivious to.
Yes. Yes. I couldn't agree more. I think we're probably swimming in a world of spirit, but we just don't notice.
You know? Exactly.
Yeah. Very powerful. Wow. So after you moved out of this space, did you have anything follow you to the next space?
I did. Just a little bit, not near to the intensity.
Sure. Okay.
And it was like for about the first year.
Oh, okay.
I did have what was real interesting. One of my cats that's always slept on my head, in my bedroom. I painted the walls blue, but it's real pretty blue. But, my cat woke me up, and I was facing the cat. And I was looking, so I was trying to see what the cat was looking at, but there was a glow on the cat's face. And I thought, well, what is that? There's not a light there. Uh-huh. It's in the corner. And so I rolled over and looked, and there was a big orb, probably the size of a grapefruit.
Oh, wow.
Just floating right there in the corner. And it was a real pretty light blue. I don't know if it was from the wall, but I think to me, it looked like it was putting out a little bit of a blue.
Oh, neat.
Aura.
Okay.
So I did have that happen.
That's kind of beautiful, though, right? Not scary.
No.
Yeah. Okay. No.
And I did see in this house, an older couple had this house. She was a beautician.
Okay.
But I did see a grandma person that had on like the knee length grandma nightgown.
Okay.
I'd walked into the kitchen and looked over at the stove and she had her back to me. It was like she was at the stove cooking.
Could you smell anything then? Just out of curiosity. Okay. Because some people report catching smells with those kind of sightings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think I did catch her socks walking through right after we'd first moved here. I thought it was my daughter coming out of her room. And I just kind of glanced and saw feet going into the kitchen, and I just took notice of socks and thinking it was my daughter. No. No. And I thought, so I think it was that old lady that used to live here.
Oh, that's really neat. So they might just be lingering. They must love the place, huh? And is the energy real light and nice, or is it kind of weird?
It's real light here.
Good. Okay.
I mean, I don't have... I'll tell you the last thing that happened. Well, I was telling my husband now, you know, that all these things happen, and he, you know, was total skeptic. And he was going, yeah, right. And this was after we first moved over here. And he said, yeah, I believe it. And he went into the bathroom and turned on the light. And he said the next thing he knew, the light switched off.
That'll show him.
He said, yeah. And then there was one time that we were laying in bed and we had the bathroom light off, and we'd been in there about 5 minutes while the bathroom light came on.
So is he kind of a believer now, or is he still not a believer?
He's on that fence rail.
Okay, I gotcha.
He's on that fence rail.
Well, he loves that fence rail, and I can't blame him. It's a safe place, but that's funny that all this stuff is happening around him, and still he maintains on that fence.
My kids and I mean, we just kind of, like I said, we've learned to accept what we get to see. I tell them we get to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yes, absolutely. And I think there's probably some sensitivity in your family that you guys are. You guys are either just picking up on the energy there, or you might be serving as beacons for it too. It's hard to know, but you know, whenever activity follows somebody like that, that's just really neat, and with a variety of experiences as well.
Well, my mom died when I was 7, and I spent a lot of time with her parents, my grandparents, and they lived in Oklahoma.
Okay.
But my dad had always told me that whenever my grandma was calling my mom, before the phone would even ring, my mom would get up and start heading to the phone, and she said, "Mom's calling."
Oh, neat.
Uh-huh. And Dad said, "Sure enough, yeah." Said, "Is your grandma?" And my grandma and I, we had the same thing.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, okay. So I think it comes from my mother's side of the family.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Sounds like you guys are doing it right, though, for what it's worth. You know, we're about out of time for today, but... I know you've got a lot more to share, and I'd certainly love it if you'll come back at a future date, and we'll record some more.
Sure, sure. Just let me know when.
Yeah, we'll get that dialed in. But, you know, again, you guys are really handling it well. It's really neat to hear your stories and to hear that, you know, you're living gracefully with this weirdness, and that, I think that's really cool, and it's a very powerful thing. So, you know, my hat's off to you for that.
Thank you. You just kind of get used to it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got no other choice, really.
You just don't have a choice.
But thank you so much, Brooks, for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
You bet, Brent. Thanks for having me.
Okay, thanks. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at paranormalportal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.